today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Sometimes God allows us to go through certain stuff because he's trying to train us when we deal with other people of what to do and what not to do. God allowed my mama to die because he wanted me to help 1,000 other people who are going through grief. And he took them from me and hurt my heart. But he set me in the midst of people that when I come through this cycle again, I can carry the gate of Gaza. I can be a Samson in the midst of you, not in my own strength, not in my own power, but in the power that's in God.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Hope and Anchor for the Soul. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 20.
Write it down, hope is the anchor. So what is hope? Hope is an optimistic feeling that something good, an optimistic feeling that should grow from reading the word, that something good will happen when things around you are uncertain. It is that optimistic feeling that something good will happen when you're living in a time of uncertainty. And the hope should not come just from optimism. It should be built from the word, like the promise of God. The oath that God made should fuel your hope. It mixes with your spirit, but also your emotions and your thoughts should all align themselves with the oath that God made. I know sooner or later what he said is going to come to pass. Yes. So I'm going to stay motivated while I wait. I'm going to stay encouraged while I wait. Watch this. I'm going to still come to church while I wait. I'm going to still give to God while I wait. Watch this. I'm going to still go to work. Man, I'm preaching, man. I'm going to still do what I need to do. I'm going to treat my life or my resource or my company because I am the CEO of my life. So I got a finance department. I have a human resource department. I have a production department in my own life right here. And I need to have a department meeting every week, and I need to make sure that I'm managing my stuff right because somebody's going to look at my company and judge me based on how I steward it. So I need to have a meeting with all of the department heads in my company and make sure everything is all right. And when I look at resources, I need to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do. And I need to do the work of a banker. Jesus said, occupy until I come. That word occupy means to do the work of a banker. And a banker takes resources and invests it. That's what they do. In other words, the money that you have in the bank right now is not in your account. The bank took your money and sent it into the world markets. As it closed business on Friday, they took your money and sent it into the world market. And then tomorrow morning, they're going to drop with a little interest. If you have a saving account, they're going to make millions off your stuff. But they drop just a little bit more in your account. So you can say, I had a little sale. I grew a little bit. What if you don't have nothing in the savings? You can't expect a yield, right? So Jesus said you got to do the work of a banker. Think like a banker when you get resources. You don't run the dealers. You got to run to the bank and you got to start investing money. Man, I'm preaching today. Well, you have hope that your money is safe in the bank. And you got to say, when I give to God, I have hope that God's word is true. You do it all of the time. Yeah. Just put the confidence in God. I didn't know that, Bishop. I didn't know they take my money like that. They do. Let's talk about the cycle of hope. Out of Jeremiah 29 and 5. God's people, this is what I don't understand about America. God's people disobeyed him and he got disgusted with them. So he sent a man into Israel called Nebuchadnezzar, or the king of Babylon. And he comes down into Jerusalem and he leads the Israelis or the Hebrews captive back to Babylon. He took them captive. Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that name. It's the same territory as present day Iraq. That's why Saddam Hussein, on his coin, he had his face and Nebuchadnezzar's face. Many of you don't know what you're dealing with. Everybody wearing a Bin Laden today. You got to know where it came from. Black men, big. You got to know where it came from. When Bin Laden died, a lot of black men, like one of the professional basketball players from Houston, Harden, start growing a long beard, and you start seeing a lot of black men doing it today. Like the beard more than they like anything else. And people just complimenting that. But what you got to do is start learning how to get some money. Following Islamic men. So wear your beard, doc. I ain't trying to come against you. But just know where it came from. I'm talking about the Bin Laden. I'm talking about down like this. You know how that Bin Laden had his stuff. A beard is fine. We all wear beards. I'm talking about Harden. Like he got that. He saw a man that took those towers down, and we started mimicking it. It's like if you need to wear dreads, but know where they came from. It comes out of Jamaica, and you just need to know that. What is the religion? Rastafarian, Rastafar. So you got to understand, that's a religion. If you understand it, then that's fine. But if you don't, twisting your hair, you don't know what's up. At least know what you're doing. Bob Marley, when he opened it up, he opened it up to the world. That's right. And he opened it up to the world. As long as you know, I have no problem with it. Man, a lady come to me and said, Bishop, man, you messing up my husband. I said, what? You were talking about suits and stuff like that. He going to get offended. I said, tell him to come to me. Is he at church? No, he ain't at church. I'm trying to get him here. Y'all baby men too much. If I offend him, it's a good offense. I ain't trying to hurt nobody. What I'm saying is logic. Look at it. Just look at it. And if anyone can handle Trump, you should be able to handle me. Yeah, don't even come with that. Y'all ain't sensitive, man. Trump said the stuff went down because of y'all. We put the wrong people in position. Ain't nobody crying. Let me get off Trump. I ain't preaching on Trump. You know, the nation elected the man. Jeremiah 29, you got to see this. The children, God's people, disobeyed him, so he sent them away captive. I don't know why we don't think that we can be captured and sent away. I just don't understand that. You're reading it right there. So look at the Bible in the 29th chapter, verse 5. We like verse 11, but I want to go to verse 5. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear what? Sons and what? And daughters. That you may increase there. Where? Not in your homeland, that you may increase while in captivity. In other words, you can't wait to go home to prosper. You can't wait until all things are right before you start doing right. You can't wait until all ducks in a row before you decide to put one foot ahead of another. You got to look at the terrain that you're in, the season that you're in, and still maintain. That you may be, that you may increase. This is part of verse 6. That you may increase there and not diminish. In other words, you need to keep on living so we don't have a deficit where we have more deaths than we do births. But you have to go into covenant. You can't just live with them. You got to get married. You got to make sure your sons and daughters get married so they can go into covenant. Because without the covenant relationship, you're going to create a system. Well, boys are growing up, they don't have any respect for their fathers, and daughters won't have respect for their fathers and mothers, and everybody's just going wild. So you may increase and not diminish in number. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, not Jerusalem. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away. So whatever city you're living in, even though things aren't right, I need you to make that city better. And whatever church I send you to, even if everything ain't perfect, you have to be an asset there. Though you have some shackles on your feet and everything ain't where it needs to be, you can't wait until deliverance comes. You need to do what you can do with the powers that you have now. Look at verse 8. No, let's look at verse 7. Seek the peace of the city that have caused you to be carried away captive and pray to the Lord. In other words, that city and the captivity should not be your God. The idolatry that's there should not be an excuse for you to go and party. I want you to still make sure your faith, though you got captivity, is in God. The Bible says, pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. In other words, if you say, God, I may not have everything I want right now, but I need you to bless the place that I stand, because if there's peace here, there will be peace in me. Glory to God. I can't have chaos out there and then chaos in my house. I can't have chaos out there and then chaos in my heart. I must have heart peace. So my heart peace will equate to city peace, and the city peace will equate to heart peace. Look at verse 8. It's powerful. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners or diviners, that's people who can see, who are in your midst, they're in the midst of you, deceive you, nor listen to your dream, which you caused to be dreamed. In other words, you can desire something so much that you cause yourself to dream it. Then all of a sudden, somebody prophesies to something that you dreamed about, and you say it's God. But you cause yourself to dream it, and you're out of the wheel. You have no hope at all. You're transitional. You have to have something to happen before you have hope. Instead of putting your confidence and your faith in God, you're looking externally and then looking spiritual for confirmation. But you cause yourself to dream it. I'm reading it right here. I think it's in the book. Do not let your prophets in the midst of you, familiar spirits. So familiar with you, it ain't God. Telling you really what you want to hear, but not what you need to hear. Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dream. You cause to be dream. You cause to be dream. I had a dream last night. Well, you ate some pork and beans, and you were watching the wrong thing, and you said, I want this car so much. I want it so much. You had a dream that you were driving in. I had a dream, Bishop. And then the prophet, he don't even know me, and he told me, you want to drive. What about your bank account? Because when it comes to material things, God can bless you, but you can also bless yourself. There is a power of man. If you work and budget, you can get things done in this world. Amen. So don't always say it's God when you cause yourself to dream it. Look at verse 9. For they prophesy what? Come on, say it. They prophesy what? I can't get the church to say it. They prophesy what? Which means if they prophesy to the dream that you cause yourself to dream, it's a false prophecy. A lot of us think we're on point, but it's not even biblical. It's not even biblical. The hope that I'm talking about emerges out of the word. The more words you get, the more faith and hope is manufactured. Not just hope in stuff, but hope in God. And it is the anchor of the soul. They prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. But thus said the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you. In other words, I put a set time on this captivity. It is for your good. Jeremiah prophesied of two baskets. One basket he was going to let stay home, and the other basket he was going to send away. Now you would say, man, the one that he sent away, they're bad baskets. No, I'm sending you away, but I'm going to teach you technology while you're there. I'm going to teach you mathematics while you're there. I'm going to teach you STEM while you're there. And when you come back, you're going to invest it in the people. And the ones that stay are the ones that rot. The ones that never move. The ones that just say, I'm secure. They're the ones that were the bad basket. Help me, Jesus. That's why you got to know the word. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain stuff because he's trying to train us when we deal with other people of what to do and what not to do. God allowed my mama to die because he wanted me to help 1,000 other people who are going through grief. And he took her from me and hurt my heart. But he set me in the midst of people that when I come through this cycle again, I can carry the gate of Gaza. I can be a Samson in the midst of you, not in my own strength, not in my own power, but in the power that's in God. And God has your heart hurting right now, and he has a set time on your deliverance because he's trying to train you. He's trying to get information to you. He's trying to grow you in hope. So when you deal with his people, you'll know what to say. Oh, my God. That's why I glory in my infirmity. I glory in what I go through, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And God wants you to glory in it. Tell him thank you for taking you through it, because you're a better person now than you were then. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words toward you and cause you to return to this place. Didn't we go to verse 11? He's speaking of hope. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You mean it's hope that's going to pull me out of Babylon? It's hope, oh my God, that's going to pull me out of these shackles? It's hope in your word that's going to pull me out of these bad relationships? It's hope that's going to restore my resources? It's hope that's going to cause me to thrive? I got to put my hope in God. Woo, Jesus. The Bible says, verse 12, then you will call. put your hope in God upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There's a time when God's going to have you so close that when you whisper hallelujah, his actions are taking place. But right now he has you in that vice because he's trying to put something in you. And he's telling you that I have good thoughts towards you. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying to grow you. Oh, my God. Ooh, Jesus. I will listen to you, verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me. I will be found by you, saith the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. Whoo, that's restoration. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away. I'm going to bring you back to the place that I caused you to be carried away. What he's trying to say, it is hope. If you put hope in this, it will come to pass. And if you put hope, but I don't see it yet, Bishop, don't worry about it. I'm preaching the word to you. God's going to bring you full circle. Look what he says. I will bring you to the place which I caused you to be captive. I believe God wants us to repent. This is how we return home. And I used to think repentance is sorrow, but it's really hope in the promise. Repentance is hope in the promise of restoration. So, Lord, I'm sorry. And I turn all the way around. Here, positionally, you haven't caused me to go home yet, but because I repented, I'm pointed in that direction. You've seen this before you had the tools, before you had the know-how. Now you have more efficiency. You can go through this. So why are you dragging? Why are you drudging? Why are you scraping? Why are you lethargic right now? Put your hope in God. I think the psalmist says, why be cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Write it down, hope is resilient. I call it the helium in the balloon or in faith's floats or causes faith to float. Helium is that element that causes your faith to float or to soar. A lady named Emily Dickerson said this, that hope has feathers. What she's saying is like a bird. It causes you to fly. It's a metaphor. I like to talk about the phoenix. It's representing hope, which means you can rise out of the ashes. It's resilient. Hope is resilient. It's that internal force that causes us to rise, keeps us persistent and consistent when we can't see our way. Honestly, if you're a good man and you're working and bringing your money home, you have to do that in hope. Many of us go to work in hope that we will get paid on Friday. But when you get married and have children, you got to think 30 years down the road of doing that every week and bring your money home instead of saying, it's my time. What do you mean? Your life is tied to your family. It's our time, never my time. Not if you're a man. And if you boss lady, you got to think the same way. It ain't my time. When you got kids, it's our time. And if he gets burned in his face like the Warsaw Hall's husband. I have a classmate named the Warsaw Hall. And she married a man, he was the picture of hell, beautiful. No flaw. And he was changing the battery and it exploded in his face. Now he's got third-degree burns, and I saw him taking him, pushing him in the mouth. Nawasa's pushing him in the mouth, man. She didn't leave him when his face was burned because she loved more than the way he looked. She had found something in his soul that was more valuable than the looks and brought her money home. Glory to God. She didn't check out. I'm out. I ain't signed up for that. Man, I'm preaching, man. But a man can't have those thoughts ever. You married a wife, took her from her people. You're supposed to be the one to take care of her. Hopefully she's a good one. Hopefully. Hopefully your name is Jose and her name isn't Goma. Hopefully. But the man can't have those thoughts. If she takes on your name and leave her people, you're responsible for her. So think about it before you make the move. Because once you make the move, I'm going to hold you responsible if you're here. You can't come to me talking about Bishop. I said, oh, God, you can't say that to me. You better go home.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Hope and Anchor for the Soul, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
February is American Heart Month, a great time for everyone to focus on cardiovascular health. Knowing your risk factors is an essential part of keeping your heart healthy. Take charge of your health by checking your blood pressure and cholesterol levels and gaining other important heart health education from a medical professional. The 2025 Black History Month theme, African Americans and Labor, focuses on the various and profound ways that work and working of all kinds, free and unfree, skilled and unskilled, vocational and voluntary, intersect with the collective experiences of Black people. This month-long observation is an opportunity to understand Black histories going beyond stories of racism and slavery to spotlight Black achievement. Join the Marriage Enrichment Ministry for an unforgettable Hearts Intertwined Couples Talk Valentine special event on Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. Celebrate love, embrace the covenant, and discover a purpose to align your vision for a shared purpose with transformative wisdom from Bishop Clark. Childcare and refreshments will be provided.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.